So it is a beautiful feast of light, but also of truth and humility and discernment. The general story is pretty well known, so let's take a look at some of the details. The gospel says that the Magi arrived in Jerusalem from the east. And when they entered the holy city of Jerusalem, they asked, "Where is the one who was born King of the Jews?" Right? They come to find a new king, so they go to the capital. And there they find this old man, very old king, and his sons are all grown up. So there's no newborn king there. They say, "Where is the one born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to do him homage." First, they come from the east and they saw the star in the east. Since then, the star has been moving, guiding them west to the Christ child, who, by the way, is said to have been born as King of the Jews. From his birth, he had royal authority. Herod acquired his kingship by violence, plotting and scheming. But Christ acquired a much greater kingship, a universal kingship without any of those, simply by his birth. This wondrous star seems to be just for the Magi. No one else seems to see it. And after leaving Jerusalem, it goes before them to Bethlehem and stopped over the child. In the book of Revelation, the stars are portrayed as angelic messengers. So this starry angelic messenger, it's a light guiding them to the eternal light. The second thing to note about the star is that the Magi describe it as his star, referring to Jesus. "We saw his star at its rising." The star belongs to this little baby. He's the King of the Jews, the Lord of the stars, the Lord of light, the Lord of all creation. Not too bad for a newborn. He didn't have to earn or win any of those titles. He was born with them. The Magi finish by saying, "We have come to do him homage." The verb literally means to bow to the ground before him. The Magi were wise men, wisdom seekers. They studied science and they sought after truth. And they teach us beautifully that all science ends in adoration. Science doesn't end with knowledge or human control over nature. The proper end of science is on the ground at the feet of the Creator, which is precisely where the wise men end up. Do your pursuits culminate in adoration? If not, then have we turned science, or worse, ourselves, into a type of God? Let's contrast the Magi and Bethlehem with Herod and Jerusalem. The Magi enter Jerusalem with the glorious news that the king has come. And rather than rejoicing, Herod and Jerusalem are greatly troubled. Jerusalem is supposed to be the holy city, but not because of the temple, but because of the Lord who dwells in the temple. But the Lord left the temple almost 6 centuries earlier when the Babylonians had destroyed the temple. The temple had been rebuilt, but he had never returned. Now the Magi come with good news that the temple's Lord is back. But Jerusalem seems to have grown accustomed to living without her Lord. She's not sure she wants him back. Herod was a powerful king, but he was a small regional king in a much bigger empire. Notice how he treats his foreign guests, the Magi, as though they were his subjects, summoning them, giving them orders. But he summons them secretly because he's not only troubled, he's also afraid. He gives instruction to the Magi, but notice they only listen to him. They wisely do not respond, either to accept or to reject his commands. Their mission was not to serve Herod, but to seek the child born as light and truth and royalty. And here's the worst thing about Herod. He calls in the chief priests and scribes and orders them to tell him where the Christ was to be born. He accepts that the Magi saw a star. He accepts that the newborn is not only a king, but the very Christ himself. That should have been news to set his heart rejoicing. But his reaction is kind of like the parable in the gospel of the tenants, who decide to kill the son of the vineyard owner in order to inherit his vineyard. Herod wants to kill God because he has no room for God in his life or his world. That's exactly what Adam and Eve did back at the very beginning. Do you have room for Christ in your world? If you were told that Jesus had returned and was in Boonville, of all places, would you go? Would his arrival be a disruption to your plans? I'm kind of in the middle of something here, Jesus. I'll go when I get free. Or the fulfillment of your plans. Does your life's work, let alone each day's work, lead you to bow to the ground before him in humble prayer and adoration? The gospel says that the Magi were overjoyed at seeing the star. Literally, they rejoiced with a great joy. Now, earlier, Herod and Jerusalem were greatly troubled at the news. But the Magi were rejoiced with a great joy. It almost sounds like they worked up a sweat, actively rejoicing and actively bowing down in adoration. I think the Christian life takes effort, takes a substantial effort. And lastly, the Christian life involves bringing a gift to Christ. What kind of gift are you making with your life to honor his kingship, his divinity, and his sacrifice on the cross? They've already brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You don't have to bring those again. But those things represent his kingship, divinity, and sacrifice. How do you honor those with the gift of your life? Here's this homework for the week. Strive to make adoration of Christ the culmination of your day, of your week, of your life. And ask the Magi to teach you how every science finds fulfillment in adoration of the Lord.